back when I was probably 7 or 8, my mom taught me how to play a C scale and a C chord and a G7 chord, and that's all I remember, except for my friends waiting outside for me to go out and play with them, and that was pretty much it for my formal training on the piano. I picked it back up in high school just on my own, and since then I've just taught myself. I'm sort of a serial monogamist with instruments. I'll play one thing very intensely at a time and then abandon it.
Well, after listening to your music and seeing the physical form that this project has taken, it makes me think that the inspiration for it was something like a fever dream. How would you describe the source of inspiration for Drunk at the Funeral?
This came about in a really sudden way. I've been pretty artistically blocked up for a while. Not blocked up, but just not knowing where to go. Like a sense of, well, I'll try this and I'll try that, and nothing was really catching me in a way that I could sustain and keep going. And then one day, I just happened to be on the YouTubes, and I saw Amanda Palmer, the Dresden Dolls, doing her song Coin Operated Boy. And it just hit me, like, bam, I've got to go back to the piano now. I've been playing violin intensely for a few years, but just about face, back to the piano, sat down, and everything just flowed.
Describe for our listeners the spare sound that you chose for this recording.
I don't really consider it spare, that the piano is a pretty ferociously multiphonic instrument. It goes full on up and down, plus drums, especially the sort of drumming that's present on this album, is extremely full and forceful. Not to mention all the orchestral percussion, like gigantic bass drum, vibraphone, little Chinese gongs, all kinds of swooshing cymbals. Instrumentally, I guess it doesn't take up much room on stage, but in your ear, it does. It can whisper, but it can also roar.
You use two different percussionists on the album to play on different cuts. What kind of communication did you have with them before and during the recording?
Well, I played with them both a lot before when I lived in Austin, and so I knew, I almost cast them by just what they do naturally. And the communication was, I just sent them the demos, and before recording each track, we ran through it, and I would say, you know, just wear yourself out, just go nuts, you know, and other things that we can't say on the radio, and just really gave them permission, like cut them loose to just go about at will and destroy me if they could. And it was exhausting and really fun. Really heavy day of percussive outrage.
So let's talk about the physical manifestation this album took on, though.
It's a wooden box made out of birch that's bound with a cloth spine like a book, with a letterpress title on the side, screen printed cover art. And inside, as you open it up, there's a letterpress title page, and bound with a ribbon, you have the book of sheet music. These are the piano transcriptions to all the songs prepared by me, with odd performance instructions or suggestions, such as swagger blissfully unaware to be played differently in each situation because you won't be invited back, things like this. Also, a packet of illustrations. Every song on the album has been illustrated in charcoal. I drew pictures for everything. And that's all wrapped up in butcher paper and secured with twine.
Well, approximately how many manpower hours does it take for you to produce each of these editions?
You would have to ask Drew Burke of Spork Press, because he built them, and it took a long time.
Can you explain what your inspiration for putting these elements together is? I mean, in other words, what do you want listeners to come away from this with?
I guess at the root of it, I want the old experience of vinyl back, because of the web, where you don't need any physical packaging. To me, that means I can do whatever I want. It doesn't even have to be a collection of things. Like, it could be a little wooden statue. It could be anything to go with the music now. And so I began with the idea of a box shaped like a book, and a bunch of art, and a bunch of sheet music. This is to me, the new freedom of digital media, is that your physical media can be whatever you choose to make it.
Composer and multi-instrumentalist Chris Black will be presenting the next installment in his Chamber Lab series on May 19th at Club Congress. There's a link for more information about all of Chris Black's music on the Arizona Spotlight page at azpm.org.